It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to begin with the 6th chapter, verse 23. The 6th chapter, verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23. And so as you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. So glad that you've joined us, but I would like to give you our address here at the church. It's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, if you'd like to send us a letter, a note. Also, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. You can contact us by our website if you would like, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies we have on the site. We have many of the radio messages. We have the Sunday messages. We have our Constitution. And we have the plan of salvation present at the website. So please that you would contact that website, take a look at it, enjoy it, come to know the Lord Jesus through that site. And also you could enjoy the growth of learning and studying the Word of God. So please that you would look to that. And if you'd like to email us, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. Now we're at Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin with the 23rd verse in reading. And so please that you follow along. Matter of fact, I think we'll start a little ahead of that. We're going to start with verse 21, actually. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And that brings us to the end of the 6th chapter, and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity that we have to bring this word before the listeners on the radio, and we just thank and praise you that that opportunity is given to us. And I ask, Father, that you will take that opportunity of the words, your word that's proclaimed, and touch the hearts and the ears and the minds of all that are listening, that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior, and that they will enjoy that wonderful time of fellowship with you. So please, please, Father, touch every heart today. Bring those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior to you, that they'll that your word, your power, the Spirit will introduce to you, to them, to each one, Father, that are listening, that they will realize their sin, recognize it, and then be drawn to you as the Spirit will show to them, as it did to me, not only who I was and that I needed a Savior, and that Savior was none other than Jesus himself. And we need to come to him because he died on the cross, Father, for us, took all my sin away, set me free, and set me on a life that is of joy and peace and satisfaction and contentment. And Father, thank you. Please, please touch every heart today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at the light, as we have discussed in the past, the eye is the lamp of the body, because it is the part of the body that sees, and it gives the body light. And so if the eye be single, this represents that it is seeing one object, just one image. It is not seeing double. And if you see double, you'll be confused. So we're not to see double, we're to see singularly. And that way we can see clearly the position and what we should do and where we should be. And so we need to set our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and look to him. But if the eye be evil, if you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not trusted in him, then your eyes see what the world has to offer, and you desire those things, and those things will only disappoint you. And so it comes with confusion, and it comes with not having an understanding of things. And when you come by faith to Jesus, he gives you wisdom, and you begin to understand and begin to see what's important, and you'll find it to be altogether different than what you have thought and learned in the past. And so please, the bad eye forms different images of the same thing. It gives you a confused thought, and you're never content. You always want more. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, as you have trusted in him, he will settle you down and help your eye to be single. And a bad eye really has no vision at all. And so as we continue to get older and we have problems with seeing and we have the cataracts and those kinds of things that we have, why, we fully understand when I take my glasses off, and even with my glasses on, my vision is limited. And so when I put my glasses on and focus on a particular word in the Scripture, I can see it clearly. But from my past, when I was much younger and my vision was better, I could look at the whole page and see it clearly. So you see, my sight is deteriorating, but as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and we walk with him each day, even though our physical eyes may be diminishing, my spiritual eyes have become much, much clearer. And so as we can enjoy each day walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, so please that we see, but thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What a sad statement there. The eye sees truth and beauty. that's when we have the light of the Lord Jesus. But when we lack the light of the Lord Jesus, then we find that we have the bad eye, we have darkness, and we're always troubled. We're always confused. And so we're going to enjoy, as we see the only thing we can do is kind of look at it on a physical side, and then we can understand the spiritual side. Now, if you're born again, you're understanding what I'm saying spiritually, that all of a sudden when you come to by faith to Jesus, you begin to understand. You begin to read the Word of God, and it makes all kinds of sense to you. But until you are born again, until you say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not something that you say for salvation every day. It's something that you'll say once, because Jesus comes in to live and abide. And then you begin to walk and to study and to look to His way and look to His will. And it's wonderful to walk each day in service unto Him. And so the light we need to look to the light of the Lord Jesus. God wants us to serve Him. And if we are to serve Him, we must serve Him with our heart, our mind, and our being. We have another study that we're enjoying in Ecclesiastes, and we have been having such a good time with that precious study. We're not near to this point yet. But Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now that fear there is not to be scared, but to greatly reverence and follow His word, and the joy will come. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so there is going to be a day, I don't know if you've ever studied the book of Ecclesiastes, but it is a wonderful study. It gives us a look and a light into Solomon's life. And it's a sad time because it's the end of his life. And he is realizing that even though he had all the wealth of the world, he has went in the wrong direction. He began to worship other gods in the end of his life. Can you imagine that? Solomon being the wisest man in all the world. David hands the kingdom to him. God gives the kingdom unto Solomon. And Solomon literally destroys it. And it becomes divided after his reign. And so it's a very sad study, but if you realize that the condition of Solomon's heart and mind at this time, he has walked away from the Lord, and it's like he's taking some of his last breath, and on his dying bed, he is telling us what he has found out, and he is recognizing that he has wasted his life. What a sad, sad statement, but study that. You'll enjoy it, I believe. So realize that we are to serve Him, we are to fear our God, and to walk each day knowing the Lord Jesus and enjoying that precious walk. A bad eye will blind the mind. It brings in hatred and selfishness and covetousness and worldly ambitions. There's nothing wrong with being ambitious, but see that it is not bringing harm unto others and also going against the wishes and the will of our God. We need to walk with Him and serve Him each day. And so that's what the mind of the world brings. It brings in hatred, selfishness, covetousness, and an ambition that drives you to the ends of the world, trying to succeed with what you want to have. And again, if you would read Ecclesiastes, you'll find out how that that is such a waste of time. We find here in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. All right, so if you're divided, if you're kind of, you know, and what was happening, and as we study other areas of Scripture, back in 1 John is another study we have, back in Revelation is another study that's ongoing. We love to study the Word of God, and so when we're looking at all these different areas of the Scripture, you see without question the wonderful continuity that the Spirit of God gives us. And so as we look back into those areas, we find, and in the study of Revelation with the seven churches, you're finding so many things are going on, and they are losing, they're walking away from the love of Jesus, and it says they lost their first love as the church of Ephesus, the first church. And of course, then we have the church of Smyrna and the Great Tribulation and the martyr, it's called the martyred church age, and what a terrible time, and thousands were murdered and destroyed. And then we come to Pergamos and the Thyatira, and Pergamos is the compromising time, and it just continues to deteriorate as folks walk away, and the devil begins with his full-blown effort to destroy what God has put into place. He will never destroy it. He may bring it to a remnant, to a small group, but we need to realize that we cannot serve two masters. You're going to be the most unhappy person if you're trying to serve God and yet keeping one foot in the world all the time. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, as we look at that verse of Scripture there, it is impossible to serve two masters. When you're working today and you're giving your heart's best efforts, you're working as hard as you can, you are satisfying and pleasing one master, and it should be your employer. Whoever you're working for, you should not have yourself divided. Now, there's a problem today with all the cell phones and all the technology, because people are always either talking to somebody or doing something besides what they're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be giving your full attention to your employer, who is paying your paycheck. Well, I'm not paid that much. Then go get another job if you're not satisfied with what he's paying you. But that's going to be a challenge, because probably if you have that attitude, you're being paid too much anyway. You need to work and give your full effort to your employer. You cannot give everything to your employer when your mind is divided. Whether it's divided because of a conversation that's on a cell phone, or you're just thinking of something else. Maybe you're thinking of what you're going to do after work. Your mind is divided. But you do that, but you're not giving your full attention, your full efforts, and your full blessings to your employer. And you need to do that. You need to give him. It is the law of human nature that you can only fix your attention to full attention to one master at a time. So don't try to do both, because you're going to do a miserable job. You cannot. The love of a servant can be fixed on only one master at a time. The person who seeks to lay up treasure on earth cannot at the same time place treasure in heaven. Now, when we look at this, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do that. It is impossible. This mammon here means idol worship. And we could probably call it the God of riches, because that's what divides us. I have got to work. I have got to make this money. I have got to do this. Well, what you're doing, you are serving two masters. Attempting to serve two masters. But in truth, you're serving the devil, because you can't. When you're dividing your time from your employer, you're not serving your employer as you should. You're serving self. And that's a good way to get fired. And then you'll complain when you are fired. Well, everybody does. It doesn't matter. Your full attention should be to the job at hand. Our full attention as we walk each day. Yes, we've got to work. And we can work and we can serve our God at the same time. But see that you are serving Him. Many people don't even know how to serve Him. They say, well, I go to church. Well, you need to go to church. You need to lift up your prayers unto the Lord, that He will give you guidance and wisdom in what you're doing and the strength. Depend upon Him always. In all that you do, depend upon Him. Depend upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He saved you if you've come by faith to Him. And He is keeping you and He is sealing you unto the day of redemption. He is holding you, never to let you go. What a joy. We have no record of the Jews ever worshiping a god by the name of the God of Riches. But they did use the word to denote wealth. That's what God has placed, mammon. And that connotation is very common today. Well, He Jewed you out of this. In other words, He has taken you. He has abused a truth there to where you think that you got cheated. And why would they cheat you? Because they want the money. Now that's a thought that's there. One must choose the wealth of the world or choose God. Now you need to work. You need to work each day to make a living. But there's a difference from that being your full mindset and setting and looking another direction to where you are serving that riches and not serving God. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's going to be a very sad day. A very sad day. Once again, no man can serve two masters. So you can't serve the devil and serve God. You can't serve the world and expect to have anything stored up in heaven for you. And everything in this world, look at verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What consumes your time? Is it putting in an honest day's work, and while you're doing that, thanking and praising your God, enjoying the day, being a good witness and testimony on His behalf while you're working? And you can work in some very unhealthy areas when it comes to spiritual things, and yet you can be the witness to those people. You can stand with them. You can show them. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where that will not take place. That is the upper verses, verse 19, verse 20, verse 21 that we've just read. So please look to those things. and stand with them. Because what's going to happen when you set yourself and your life upon this life, upon this world, and the desire of so many things, you become anxious. And the 25th verse says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body or what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Now let's take a look at that verse of Scripture, because what that means is, and what that stands for, and when your God is money, when your God is riches, you will never or can never have enough. You always have to have more. You always have to have. I don't care if you would win the lottery, if you would inherit $10 million, $100 million, you would always want more. Because you see, the God of this world, the riches, does not satisfy. Only our Lord and Savior satisfies. God the Father sent Jesus the Son down here, took on a body of a man, lived for 33 years. The last 33 years is what folks call his public ministry, when people saw all the wonderful miracles that he could perform, that no man could do it because he was God-man. But not only the miracles and the healing, but also then we have the joy. The joy that was set before him. And that is not a joy that we would think to be a joy. And that is to be brought in falsely, condemned falsely, nailed to the cross for that condemnation, which was a lie, which was false, and died on that cross and shed his blood. But you see, we're told by the Word of God that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're sinners. We're condemned to die. But Jesus died in our place, shed his blood, took his precious blood and presented it to his Father after his death. Sit here. I've paid the debt. And God the Father accepted that payment. So now, what you need to do, what I need to do, and I have done, and that is to come by faith to Jesus and call upon him. Say, "Please, please, Jesus, save me. Please, take my sin away." You don't have to beg him, but you need to recognize that you're lost. Recognize that you're going to die and go straight to hell. Spend eternity in the lake of fire if you don't choose Jesus. It's the only way. There's many religions out there, but there's only one way. And that is the way of the cross. By faith, come to Jesus. Please, I beg you, do not depend on some religion. Do not depend on any certain church. Because they will fail you. They're man-made. The only church that is true is the church that is built. It's a spiritual church, not a physical church. But it is built upon and with those that have come by faith to Jesus. I'm a member of that church because I have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Are you a member of that church? Or have you set out to make your place in the world, to bring in all this money? Maybe you were born in a family that was very poor, and I'm never going to be poor again. Well, you're still poor if you do not know Jesus as your Savior. Come by faith to him, trust in him today, believe in him. He will save you. He will keep you. He will seal you. He will give you joy, peace, wisdom. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Please, please, Look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Trust in Him today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?